The Lord be with you. Hey, we want to first say welcome to all of our guests this morning. We pray that your time at Hope this morning and throughout the day will help you discern where God's calling you. But now, how many of you love senior witnesses? For our guests, each spring, we've invited six seniors to bear witness to what God has done in their lives through their time at Hope. And today, we have Kendall Phillips. Kendall is a senior. She is a social work major, religion minor. All right, it's a major love. And she, next year, is heading to Milwaukee with Teach for America. So I'm going to pray for Kendall and then let you go. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we bless you for what you have done in Kendall's life, and we pray that this morning you would speak through her. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen.
Romans 14, verses 7, 8, and 9 says, "We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again so that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead." This is the word of the Lord. What does it mean to live to the Lord? I want to live in God's presence, to belong to the Lord, but I've had a hard time figuring out how. If you know me, you know I'm a worrier. So naturally, I've worried and worried about God's truth. I haven't understood it, and if I don't understand it, how can I live in it? And I figured if it's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, my chances aren't looking very good. I'm afraid of being left out. I've studied and studied Christian history, searching for answers and asking questions about the existence, purpose, and goodness of God. I've cried in Dr. Jeff Tyler's office more than once because of all the things about God and God's creation that I do not understand. My Hope College experience has been colored in amazing ways. It's been colored by the orange and blue of Hope Spirit, the maroon and gold of Adyar Pole, the blue and gray of the Sigma Iota Beta sorority, and the tie-dye white and green shirts of Dance Marathon. It's been colored by the laughter and camaraderie of the best friends I have ever known, the compassion and brilliance of my social work professors and religion professors, and the guidance of my supervisors and mentors. Passing through this place has been a gift, and it has changed me. I have seen God's light in blinding ways. But I've still been lonely at times. I've still felt lost. Among a community that holds me so tightly, I have felt like I am falling, and I can't help but to ask the question, why? Why does it snow in April? Why do people like Snapchat and frozen yogurt? Why am I always either tired or hungry? I don't understand any of those things. But I have also struggled to understand God's grace. I don't understand how the same God that has allowed us to raise thousands of dollars for Helen DeVos Children's Hospital is the same one who allowed kids there to be sick in the first place. I don't understand why the same God who gave me 99 amazing sibs to stand by my side is the same God who took Riley Gortzma from us in the summer of 2013. I don't understand who God made me to be when I find myself thinking I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough or skinny enough. I don't understand God's plan for me when I find myself believing that I don't even deserve to be here. And I don't understand God's goodness in me when every cell in my body burns with an anger or aches with a sadness that seems to have no source yet no limit. I do not understand. I confess that sometimes I would have rather had no faith than deal with these questions, this lack of understanding. The pain of wrestling with them has caused me to cry out, to feel desperate. I have felt a deep, deep inadequacy in my ability to believe in who God is. These questions have disabled me to a point where I would have rather been ignorant to God's existence than to reconcile my own with his. At times like these, I feel like my sins are running on a loop in my head. Pride, greed, lust, anger, over and over again. If only I understood, God, why this happened, then I could focus. God, you are good. Why don't I feel good? You know that song that says, your grace is enough? Well, I had God's grace, didn't I? Why wasn't I happy? These questions haunted me. I was ashamed because I felt like God's grace was, in fact, not enough for me. Surely living to the Lord must be more conclusive and satisfying than this. Last summer, I had an internship at a Christian organization called International Justice Mission. We had opportunities to hear about the work and faith of some of the most faithful people I've ever met. Through hours of these conversations, one thing really, really stuck with me. A successful corporate lawyer turned VP of operations in Southeast Asia told us with assuredness to go towards the pain or the painful things in our lives. So I didn't come home that summer with a job or lots of new technical skills, but armed with that advice, I began to break down some of the walls that the devil had built up inside of me. I did a lot of reading, talking, and asking the question, what does God have to say about that? My transition of turning away from darkness and towards God's light is not in one single majestic moment, nor am I anywhere near completely out of the dark. But the things that I have found have comforted me. I found that I'm someone who likes to know what's going on. I like to have control over all my life. But I've been reminded in a world where it is so easy to claim ownership over our own lives that I am not God. In this, I found what I like to call an anti-answer, that instead of explaining away everything, completely shifts the focus from my own thoughts and my own troubles to God. This answer I found most vividly articulated in the Heidelberg Catechism. When asked the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death, the answer states that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. What had I been doing all that time? Definitely not living in subservience to my salvation. Previously, my salvation had been operating as a last resort. It would be like thinking, well, if I don't get an A in this class, at least I'm saved. Now I realize how ridiculous that is. It's only because I'm saved that I have an opportunity to get an A in a class, to take a class, to be here at Hope College. The fact that I stand where I stand today has absolutely 100% nothing to do with me. The glory belongs elsewhere, not with me, not on a shelf, not on my resume or in the number of likes I get on an Instagram. Everything I've been able to do is literally by the grace of God. #blessed. All things must be subservient to my salvation. Through him, I don't need to worry about the what or the why of my life. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and he is the what, and he is the why. It is him that I seek, and not any dimension of understanding. I've realized that this life and this world has so much more to offer than pain and sadness. Rather than focusing on the pain of the cross, I've chosen to dwell on its promise. And in doing so, I have realized his presence that I so desperately sought in the midst of my confusion. Living this way is terrifying at its core because it's exactly the opposite of how I like things to be. But I can't do it halfway. I can struggle to understand something I didn't create, but I can't let that keep me from appreciating its beauty. I love Lake Michigan, but I don't ask God why he made lakes. I can't just give him the things that upset me or that I struggle with. I can't give my schoolwork up to God but hold on to my relationships. I can't give Sunday mornings to God but keep Saturday nights for myself. It doesn't make any sense. In this same way, all things must be subservient to my salvation. Not just Sunday mornings, not just here in the chapel, not just in life, not just in death. There are things on this earth that I will never fully understand, and now I can be okay with that. Understanding God is too heavy a burden for me to bear, but in knowing him, there is great joy. There's great comfort in knowing that I am not my own. And if I try to be the master of the universe or even of my own life, I cannot be comforted. So I will try to go forward in a posture of humility, understanding not God himself, but his sovereignty over my life. I have found a peace, my only comfort, in giving up my life to him. So next time you're wrestling with the questions of why and how and what and when, reflect on the understanding that Christ gives us in his perfect word, that whether we live or we die, we are living first and foremost for him, for the one who saves us, and the one that tells us that rather than being lords over ourselves, we have another one to trust, a perfect one in heaven who knows what is best for us, does not give us more than we can handle, and does not question the way of his own world. I cannot dream up a more perfect and whole gift than that. Pray with me. Lord God, help us to know ourselves first as you know us. Help us to understand that we are nothing more and nothing less than who you have made us to be after your perfect image. Help us to seek that perfect image in order to acknowledge that you are Lord God over all. Be with us today as we go forward. Amen.